Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
Hey, so I've been thinking, what's the will of God for your life? And I've come up with an expression, and it's just think big, act small. You know, sometimes you just need to coin something. And Colin preached like I heard, awesomely. I thought he was brilliant. He's just gone up a level. I didn't think he could go up a level, you know, like world class to galaxy class. Just, I don't know if there is, but just went up there. And, he's talking about Gideon being a mighty man, that he needed to think big about himself. And it wasn't a matter of his circumstance. It wasn't who he was. It was what's in him. The call of God to be a deliverer was in him. He needed to align his thinking with the thinking of God. And then he just needed to beat the weed. He just needed to act small in the midst of thinking big. And sometimes we think, oh, what are we meant to do? What are we meant to do? You're meant to own your wine press. That's what you're meant to do. You know, think big. You can rebuke the wind and the waves and stand up in your boat and you can say, waves be still, wind be still. The powers of God, it's up to us to declare it. But then, you know, the act small, the power's in your step, the power's at your feet. You know, so I want to talk about it today. We've had a massive victory in Hope City Church. Like a massive victory. I don't know if you understand what's happened with City Hearts, but it is one of the greatest victories that one single church has ever been a part of. And it's to do with the care and the restoration of people involved in human trafficking across this great nation. A stain in this nation. And last year, Hope City Church, we set it up for the restoration of women with life-controlling issues, and then we moved into women coming out of hostage situations. And last year, we helped 250 survivors of human trafficking. Think about that alone, 250. You know, thanks to Louise here, thanks to a whole team, Karen and Ali. It has just been absolutely remarkable. And then we've got this, when you're faithful with little, God gives you much. We're going to go from the care of 250 survivors to over 500 survivors of human trafficking. One church, one ministry at one time. This is massive. This is massive. You know, one of the greatest evils in society today, Hope City Church has stepped in and we are rocking the boat. It wouldn't surprise me if we become the number one provider of care in it might be stretching it, but amongst the top five providers of care in the entire nation. This is no small thing. This is a massive thing. And one of the houses is for women that are pregnant out of abuse, deciding to keep their kids. And let me prophesy over these babies that are being born, that will be born, that many of them are going to be leaders in this nation. Many of them are going to be politicians. A lot of them are going to be in the forefront of what's going on. They're going to be church leaders and they're going to marry your kids. Your kids are going to be married to them. They're going to grow up. Nobody's going to know their history. Nobody's going to know their past. They're going to think, how come these kids are so anointed? How come these kids are revival makers? It's because they came from brokenness. It's because a ministry rose up and decided to care and decided to be faithful with a little. And God gave them much and God broke through and God did astonishing things because we decided to think big. We decided to think big. We decided to think big and act small. That's why this is massive. It's massive. We decided to think big. We decided to prophesy big, to dream big, to declare big, to decide big. You can do that. You can do that. You can prophesy big. You can think big. You can declare big. You can decide big. But also you can act small. I'm not talking about thinking small and then acting big as if you did. I'm talking about thinking big and acting small. I'm talking about you prophesying. I'm talking about you speaking big, declaring big, but acting small, small shifts in attitude, small acts of kindness, small steps of faith, small turns of love, small seeds planted. Here's the template from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let's throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who thought big yet acted small. The Bible says, who for the joy set before him, he's about to endure the cross, and he's thinking about you. He's thinking about the 21st century. For the joy set before him of people being released from bondage, being released from the captivity of sin. He's thinking about hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, billions of people affected by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw straight through the cross because he was a big thinker. Who for the joy set before him. He's prophesying, thinking, meditating, dreaming. Big. Then he acted small. Just endured the cross, one cross, stuck it out, didn't look back, scorned at shame, made light of it shame, kept his eye on the goal, kept his attitude sweet, kept his heart soft, kept believing, kept forgiving, kept pure in soul. And then he broke through. And the Bible says he sat down like a champion of champions at the right hand of the throne of God, exalted, in full authority and in complete victory. Well, that's you. God wants you to sit down the right hand of your victory. But it's through what I like to call hashtag TBAS. Think big, act small. I got an opportunity to, like, this is just the window to take you into the backstory of the last 5 years in Hope City Church. And the last 5 years of Jenny Gilpin, my wife, who had the dream for City Hearts and to make it happen, to release people from life-controlling issues of addictions and obsessions, and then to move it into the other people's control over other people's lives, to see people freed from sex trafficking, from labor trafficking. But I've got the opportunity just, and the reason I've got the opportunity is because, is for a start, Jen is just soaring. Like just literally soaring. About to have an operation, but in a spirit, she is just soaring. She's, you know what it is to get reinvented, don't you? Ask Jen. You know what it is to get second wind, don't you? Well, that's Jen, you know. She's got authority. She's got mojo. She's sassy. She's sexy. That's just between me and her. She is in full flight, wings stretched. And so it kind of feels to me that I can now talk about something that I could never talk about before. I don't know if you saw it. She is 2015. Our conference, but she totally, totally, totally blew the house away. She was astronomically incredible. And just, I've never seen such authority. I've never seen such kick-ass power. I've never seen such strength. I just haven't seen it. But where has this come from? I'll tell you where it's come from in a few seconds' time. But there's enough goodness around for me to share the story. And I can also share it because Ryan, our son's in a great place. He's engaged his heart and the heartbeat of C3 Church Sydney, Oxford Falls. He's strong. I saw him for 2 days, strong in mind, strong in spirit, strong in heart, strong with God. He is just a walking miracle and a walking champion of the faith. 23 years of age, and I'm thinking, I am so, so proud of you. Retained all the authenticity that is Ryan Gilpin, but just like Iron Man. He's been clad by the Spirit of God, and it's magnificent to see. Okay, here goes. 5 years ago in August 2010, Jen and I went on holidays to Fort Aventura. Jen and I went first, and Ryan and Esther came halfway through. They're engaged to be married. For the first half, it was just me and Jen. It was kind of good, but it was also kind of strange. It was hard to describe. It felt like Jen was falling, like free falling, like no ledge to break the fall, nothing catching her. She was, it's like seeing someone slowly slipping into a crevasse. And one morning, I left her on the sun lounger and went for a run. And when I got to the sea, I started to pray and literally cry my heart out. I felt, honestly, like this could be the end. I felt like something irreversible was taking place. It was like something inside her had snapped. And it felt like that snap had marked the end of everything. It was like she had entered into a deep chasm, and I had no ability, no word power, no encouragement power to pull her out and to rescue her. I felt like she was slipping, and I had also lost hold of her hand. So as I prayed, I felt God break through and say to me that it wasn't the end. That it may be the end of a season, but it wasn't the end of the race, the plan, the destiny that he had for us. And then out of nowhere, I'm not looking for sermons, God gave me an analogy of the bench, which I've preached to thousands of people across the world, never referencing me looking out to the Atlantic Ocean in a place my wife's slipping away, but people feeling an incredible anointing upon the message, thinking, what is this guy talking about the bench? It's because no great player has ever gone from success to success on the field without time out on the bench. The bench is a place of recovery, restoration, a place of reinvention. Just because you're not on the field doesn't mean you're not part of the team. The team is both field and bench. And my message, which cleverly I tried to leave the title to the end, it's called Bench It Like Beckham. Because David Beckham being sick and out, being tired and being broken, he wasn't wearing a onesie on the bench. He was wearing Pierre Cardin on the bench. He was benching it well. And I got this message from this time of incredible crisis. And it changed my thinking, because up to that point, there was no bench in Hope City Church. There was no bench in our lives, just a field scoring, kicking, running, no resting, no time out, no recovery. If you do that for too long, you'll eventually start to burn. And that's where Jen found herself. To understand that, you've got to go back a further 5 years. This is 10 years ago, to the birthing of City Hearts. Jen made a decision to take on the most hopeless of women with addictions and obsessions that the world could do nothing with and love them back to life. We had, living in a house at the time, Colleen Daly, who's now Colleen Brownlee, living with us, and our house was manic. With calls to volunteers and staff at the City Hearts House, trying to look after women on the verge of suicide, vexed by darkness and veering toward madness. Our house had become a house of madness as we tried to establish the City Hearts ministry. Had no funding, and we took on added financial pressure because the police kept knocking on the door saying, will you take this girl who's just been free from a brothel? She's got nowhere else to go. And we had no funding to do it. We had no capacity to do it, but we did it. For the first 3 years of City Hearts, there was a buffer, and it was called a conferencing department in Hope City Church. And the conferencing department, made a lot of money, and were able to move that toward this ministry and all the ministries that we're doing in the life of Hope City Church. And then the recession came along 3 years later and moved us from a ministry or a department that would have turned over £300,000 a year to almost nothing. Overnight, the recession brought us down. And we were left with City Hearts with a shortfall of over £120,000 to maintain the ministry, let alone all the money that was needed for the pastoral and the planting side of the church. It was unrelenting, it was exhausting, nerve-wracking, ball-crushing. But punctuated with some incredible stories of recovery and breakthrough. I got to track back further. For Jen, that was on top of a previous 15 years of pioneering Hope City Church from a standing start in a malnutrition church culture and a secular world culture, as well as putting up with me. Mr. Mild Panicker, Mr. Driven, Mr. Not So Affectionate, and Mr. I'll suck you dry of all your wisdom. Thank you very much. And if that wasn't enough, she was mothering a boy who was intensely gifted and intensely intense, unusually hyperactive and struggling to find his fit both at school and home. And when he was 5 years of age, every other kid in the church decided to leave church due to a minor leadership kerfuffle, leaving a deep hole in his heart and soul. It's just been filled in. That's the life of pioneering. It's unpredictable, a roller coaster ride into the great unknown, yet softened by young legends of the faith arising, like Chris and Gosha, like Glyn and Soph, Siobhan and Steve, Dawn, Colin, Simon and Rach, Louise, Chris, Maggie and Phil, Andy and Karen. And in raising up so many more legends like Colin and Beth, Jen also felt susceptible to feeling kind of redundant, like to all that was going on. And in raising up a child that was about to get married, she felt susceptible to feeling like her turn at motherhood was about to close down on her as Ryan became more independent. So there was an incredible feeling, like every mum who goes through that stage of life, of amazing emptiness after the fullness of motherhood. And in carrying the ebb and flow of the church in her heart, her body had become susceptible to not working the way it should. And so she's more often in pain than not. Okay. Yet in all of that time, she never stopped thinking big. She never stopped dreaming big. She never stopped prophesying big. Now, I've just been to Australia. I took all of her journals with me to Australia. She allowed me to snoop through them. And I'm going to read extracts from Jen's journals from now on just to show you what was going on behind the scenes. And the secret of TBAS, think big, act small, is all the way through the history of City Hearts and through the history of Jenny Gilpin. That no, you never see a resurrection unless there's been a funeral. You never have a resurrection unless somebody has sown seeds and believe in seeds to see everything come to pass. 3 months before Fort Aventura, on May the 5th, 2010, she wrote out 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17 in a journal. May our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loves us, loved us by his grace and gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. She asked herself what good hope meant to her. She listed 7 things. 1, having a happy life that suited her personality. 2, ministering out of the overflow instead of out of empty. 3, actually enjoying all she did. 4, seeing God move dramatically across our church. 5, seeing a huge wave of souls coming into our church. 6, seeing miraculous financial provision and no more lack. And 7, seeing God break out in signs, wonders, and healings. Well, if you saw Jen last week, we're cracking this signs and wonders. People are being healed in Hope City Church. This is a fresh revival of healing in Hope City. And don't be surprised if you see something, have something supernatural happening to you, because we're ushering in a brand new anointing. But she was thinking big in the midst of the darkness. The next day she read and wrote out 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, which says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. And she wrote in a journal, that's how you fight the good fight. You've got to lay hold of all that God has said, the truth that he's declared over you. You've got to keep being keeping with the prophecies once spoken about you in order to fight the good fight. You got to think big. There's prophecies, there's words that have been spoken over every single one of you and over this church, that if you can think big, that's how you fight the good fight. So she's already discovering the secret of think big in the midst of her despair. She's discovering something from God. And so she recalls some prophecies she'd had in recent times back then. Chris Pringle had said, heat will come through you into another person and they will be instantly healed. Steve Penny once said, you should believe for a TV program, the Oprah of England. Magnus Pearson from Sweden declared, God is going to give you a worldwide ministry. Don't dwell on how it'll all work out, but almost in a day, in a moment, it will just happen. So she wrote, prophecy doesn't unfold until you embrace it as truth. Prophecy doesn't unfold until you embrace it as truth. Whatever your circumstances, it's time to embrace it as truth. That's how you fight the good fight. That's how prophecy unfolds. When you think big, when you embrace it as truth, when you ward off cynicism and doubt, when you stand in utter belief, that's when you fight the good fight, and that's when prophecy unfolds. When a soul was melting, a soul was falling. When a soul was broken, her spirit was soaring. You, can do this too. Just thinking big, prophesying big, speaking big. It's not your job to make the promises of God come to pass. You're not God. But it is your job to declare the promises of God, because that's written from the very beginning. In the beginning, God said, everything starts with speaking. Everything starts with declaring. That's your life. But you can't do the miraculous. And so don't step back from thinking big, speaking big, because the power doesn't belong to you. The power belongs to God. You just set it up for the power of God by you declaring the stuff that God's already spoken. It's not our job to perform miracles, to do impossible things, to have divine coincidences, and to move the hand of God. It's just your job to think big, to be free from containment, from survival, small thoughts of God, small thoughts of your future. It's your job to speak, to declare, and to pray. It's your job. You can do that. You can do that. When you strip yourself of having to accomplish it, it's a lot easier job. You can, 6 days later in May, she declared, "You are the God of my breakthrough." 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20 declares, "As the water breaks out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." She said, "Breakthrough in influence, breakthrough, break in my walls with you, breakthrough to live at a whole new level. Breakthrough to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover." And on the opposite side of a journal, it's just got two words, Malaysian students. Wow. Prophesying it. In the midst of a falling, she's prophesying something that only 4 or 5 months ago, we send out 6 of our best young people to Kuala Lumpur to minister to Malaysian students. This thing's rocking, but this thing was spoken. If you want tomorrow's world to unfold in your life, you've got to speak tomorrow's world today. You've got to get a hold of thinking big. I'm serious. You can do this. You should do this. This is the power that's within your hands. She spoke it. She wrote it. Today, there's the beginning of a revival, beginning of something in Southeast Asia because of 2 words written in her journal. You can do this. You can speak it out. Dry bones live. You can stand up in your boat, rebuke the wind and the waves. You can declare as Elijah did, the greater are those that are with us than those against us. God can open your eyes eventually to see the chariots of fire surrounded around about you. The word of God is more true than your present. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be," and there was. In mid-May 2010, she wrote about Luke chapter 2, where it says that the shepherds spread the news about Jesus. She declared, "What faith to spread the news about Jesus when all he was a baby?" Then she wrote, "Faith proclaims the outcome while there's only a seed." On the 20th of May 2010, she wrote 4 words, Beth Blois, women's pastor, and that was 2 years before she and Colin became lead pastors. But they say that Beth preached a blinder, as she is, only a month ago. That she preached like someone on rocket fuel. Just connected in an extraordinary, extraordinary way. Yet prophesied in the midst of her bleakness. It's just 4 words in the midst of her bleakness that caught something of God's future plans for the life of our church. One seed, one word written, spoken, prayed, declared, can open doors of iron. It can bend bars of bronze. It can bend a bow of bronze. Think big, act small. Am I preaching well or am I preaching brilliantly? Just you give me the description. You can do this. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He's with you, mighty warrior. You just need to echo the words, "I'm a mighty warrior." And we got ourselves a party. Yeah, we got ourselves a breakthrough. That's all you need to do. Say, "Thank you, God." It's not who I am. It's what's in me. Called by God for such a time. You can do that. Stop describing the brick wall of your circumstance and start describing the limitless call spoken over you. You can do that. Every one of you can do that. Think big, act small. Hashtag TBAS. TBAS. Jen thought big, but she also acted small. At the end of May, 2 months before Fort Aventura, She reminded herself of Psalm 32, verse 7 to 8. You are my hiding place. You'll protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll counsel you and watch over you. She heard God say to her, stay in the hiding place and just wait for instruction. I'll speak to you when it's required, and I'll lead you to where you need to go. She then quoted from Steve Penny, great leaders give direction from the calmness of a mountaintop. She reminded herself, it's okay to sit on the mountaintop and give mountaintop directions. It's okay to slow down after 25 years in the ministry. She's stilling her soul, acting small, making small adjustments in her spirit, yoking herself to Jesus, the older oxen, letting him take the strain, letting him pull her through into the future. She then dug out small shifts of attitude that she needed from Luke chapter 2. She wrote, people must have had a lot to say about Mary being single, pregnant, prone to super spirituality, all negative and derogatory. Once unveiled, however, Mary ushered the Son of God into the redemption of mankind. She said, people say stuff when you make unpopular decisions. The enemy rises up when you make a stand, declare a truth, take a hold of destiny. She's having a small adjustment in attitude. Instead of hating the haters, she was despising the haters, making small of the haters, saying that Mary was hated, but she didn't do anything about it. She didn't react to it because she realized that the seed of redemption was going to come from her body. And one day, all everywhere will see the righteousness of God come to pass out of her lives. So instead of spending time being consumed by anger, be consumed by hatred, she decided to cleanse her heart and realize that this is the way of Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. She heard God say, you may not see it, Jen, but you're actually following me really tightly, really closely. Stay fixed to my side. Stay stuck like glue and I'll hold your hand all the way. So she's tucking in. She's coming under the shadow of the Most High. Small acts, but huge consequences. And you tucking in under the shadow of God may be a small thing, but small things have incredible consequences. Small things are like hinges upon huge doors of opportunity from heaven. Open on the small hinges of you tucking into heaven. On the 17th of May, she wrote, but Jesus often withdrew the lonely places and prayed. And a side note was often lonely and prayer come together. She was almost saying that it's okay to be lonely as long as you salt it with a call to prayer. We'll be okay. Later in May, she could feel her feet slipping. And she wrote, I feel like I just can't be everything to everyone and on top of everything. It makes me want to just run and hide. Please help me, Lord. On the 23rd, 2 days later, she wrote, Father, deep inside, I feel like I've got nothing left. I'm tired of being used by people. I'm tired of not being liked. I'm tired of not being a part of the in crowd. I'm tired of being a leader and feeling lonely and alone. Please help me, Lord. And then she wrote, Jesus wept and sweated drops of blood over the will of God for his life. And then he went ahead and did the will of God. He was in anguish, but an angel came and strengthened him. She wrote, it's okay to feel this way. Jesus will provide your personal angel. Just say this. There's angels in this room. And the angels stay in the presence of God. If you tuck into the Lord Jesus Christ, then the same as the angels ministered to Christ upon the cross, the angels and the angelic ministry, you'll feel the touch of angels' wings because of the promise that the angels shall minister to you in times where you need consolation, when you need encouragement. A week before Fuerteventura, she heard God say, Jen, you've not lost it all. You're just tired. I restore to you everything. The tiredness has eaten away. Jen, I took 5 loaves and served thousands. Watch me do amazing things through just a little. As she packed for the holiday, she prayed, I ask you to help me, Lord. I ask you to meet me, Lord. I have nothing left, not even the energy to cry out. Meet me, Lord, in my need. She read about Elijah suffering from depression in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 7. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. She then cried out, I feel like I'm starting over again, just you and me, God, starting again. In the light of the story of Elijah, and the woman with only a little bit of flour to her name. She wrote, Lord, I'll do what you told me to do. That's all I have in my hand. This is my flour. This is my water. My story will be what you've given to me. And I know that it will be powerful. You've heard my washed up cry. Thank you, Father. You've given me a step. One step leads to the future. And I'm going to do the last thing you told me to do. You've got a step. It's not a large step. It's not a leap. There's no such thing as a leap of faith. Only a step of faith. You want to think big, but you want to step small. Power of this life is at your feet right now. And Jen trusted in the midst of her trial in God's power and God's ability. She embraced the child within her. The child of faith only holds hands with the child of brokenness. She allowed God to minister to the child within. And there's a child within every one of you right now. And there's nothing wrong with being a child. There's four faces of God in Ezekiel chapter 1. There's the face of a lion. There's the face of an ox. There's the face of an eagle. There's the face of a man, the frail face of a man. And it's that man's face that looks at you every day and says, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there. I became flesh of the earth. I was born a baby in a manger. I suffered. I know what it's like to resist temptation. I'm your high priest. I'm a man that stands in between heaven and earth. I've got blood on my hands. I've got holes in my wrists. I know what it's like to experience pain. There's nothing wrong with being a child. The child of faith always holds hands with the child of human. It's a small act. Nobody sees. You do it in invisibility. You do it when you just touch heaven. But it's a hinge that opens a massive door. You need to allow God to touch your feelings of abandonment, being let down, being exhausted, beyond belief, being rejected, being ignored, being abused, being lonely, being disappointed, being never good enough, being afraid, being terrorized by fear, being hardened by continued difficulty, or just being worn out by the journey. It's okay to be human. In the middle of the holiday, she wrote, when the three visitors visited Abraham, he didn't know anything about the promise of blessing that they were to give him. He was simply gracious and hospitable. And it suddenly happened. His world was turned upside down. She said, keep doing normal things with a great attitude and life will surprise you. A year later, a year and 2 months later, she's at number 10 Downing Street. Prime Minister's in the room. But she's thinking to herself, just keep a great attitude and life will surprise you. And then God added to that and said, hey, stay calm, be anointed, and be someone that reaches out to all. Be pleasant, anointed, and dignified. She looked across the room and there's Jen Baker, who now heads up her anti-trafficking ministry, who she'd never met before in her life, looking at her. It's amazing. Small act of kindness, small change in attitude, small hinge. Big door. You need to stop trying to be the door. Stop trying to be the door in your marriage, the door in your family, the door in your future, the door in your evangelism. Stop trying to be the door. Just be the hinge. Just be the hinge. Hashtag TBAS. Think big as a door of opportunity. Act small. I'll be the hinge upon which the door swings. That's it. She writes in a journal about City Hearts. We create change one life at a time. And it's the same with Hope City Church in Sheffield's new 1,500-seater auditorium. It's a big vision, and it's a big vision across every location of Hope City Church. But, you know, we don't do big vision. We just do one life at a time. The church has never, ever been anything but one life at a time. I just need to wipe the sweat from my brow. Looks better on telly when we eventually edit this. The power of one is all that we have. Everything comes from the one. You need to save a generation. You need to believe for a generation to be saved. But you don't save a generation. I mean, it's ridiculous. You save one. That's the hinge. You can do that. You can do that. Stop going for the multitudes. It's ridiculous. Pray over the multitudes. But do what Jesus did. Prayed over the multitudes, wept over the multitudes, and he just touched people, one woman with the issue of blood at a time. You can do that. One soul, one person, one precious heart beating for purpose and destiny. Okay, so here's the finally, right? When I stood on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean praying for a girl falling and slipping into a crevasse of helplessness, as if my hand just couldn't lift her anymore, she was actually reading Jude 24. It's in her journal. And it says, to him who's able to keep you from falling. And to present you before the glorious presence without fault finding and with great joy. Then she read Psalm 94, verse 18 and 19. When I said my foot is slipping, you, O Lord, supported me. So what I thought was taking place wasn't really taking place. Because God was supporting and lifting up. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Her journal finishes with Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. This is called a devotional life. Just if you haven't had one, this is a devotional life. This is human. This is touching heaven. And God's here to touch you as well. He watches over you, and in neither slumber nor sleep. And God didn't. God kept her to this day of amazing breakthrough in the life of City Hearts and Hope City Church. 3 years after Fuerteventura in 2013, a beautiful mother passed away unexpectedly. Through it all, it felt like Jen was falling, but in reality, she wasn't. She was slipping down a crevasse in her soul, but there was a scarlet cord that had entangled itself across her chest, pulling her upwards. It was like the tentacle of a jellyfish, just wrapped around her, unable to let her go. For Jesus loves me, this I know. But she herself had taken a hold of it. And this scarlet cord, she couldn't see it, but miles up in the sky was a giant red balloon filled with the hydrogen of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. That's Hope City Church. That's Hope City Church. Think big, but don't pretend that you're a super champion. You're more than a conqueror, but you ain't super. The super belongs to God. But act small. One smile, one hug, one act of kindness, one change in attitude. You can do that. You can do that. That's the secret of the Word of God. It's the secret of us right now in this period in the life of Hope City Church. This is where we're at. This is what we're doing. I'll just finish with this, that in October 2010, 3 months into a 4-year recovery from burnout, she preached What Goes On in the Night. And this is for you. She said, the night that confronts you will become a pavement upon which your future unfolds. She said, your night will become your advancement. She said, your night will become proof that God continues to work despite of you. And she said, your night makes it impossible to see, but you've got to trust in the seeds you plant. God is like a silent puppeteer pulling all the strings. She went on to preach time and time and time again, preaching about kindness and preaching about dreaming big, the possibilities of God. And we come to this point in the life of our church. Behind every breakthrough, there is a backstory. God's good, but so that you can be part of the goodness of the future of Hope City Church, #TBAS, think big, act small. God bless you.